Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, Tuesday afternoon. History made at the White House. Hat tip to President Trump yet again. Nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. Seems to me, boy, he really ought to be in the running for it. The Atlantic, which was recently, 2 weeks ago, telling us about weather that might damage the president's hair and peddling all sorts of other bullcrap, came out with a piece suggesting, well, if Trump's been nominated, we ought to just abolish the whole thing. It's craziness, absolute craziness. But somebody who I thought covered this, had a great insight on it, as he does with so many other things, from justthenews.com, John Solomon is with us again. John, thanks for taking time for us.
It is my pleasure to join you tonight.
Well, before we even get to the big story, the last time you were on, you were talking about your new book, Fallout. And if memory serves, is what? It's every 10 years you write a book?
That's exactly right.
Okay.
You got a great memory.
So can people still get a copy of Fallout?
They sure can. So we just resupplied Amazon because they sold out, but another shipment of several thousand books are at Amazon ready to go. So it's selling like gangbusters there. And you can also get it at jtnshop.com, which is the Just the News store that we operate in conjunction with the website. You can get it at both locations.
All right. Well, excellent. I want to make sure that people do get
Thank
a copy
you.
Of that. John, I have been someone who respects your journalistic chops for a long time, and so I was curious if you could give us your sense of the initial Atlantic piece with Jeffrey Goldberg and things that seem to be pretty easily disproven, and then this nonsense that the Atlantic comes out with about just abolishing the Nobel Peace Prize.
Well, it's good that they showed their true colors now.
Right? Yeah.
Listen, this pattern has been repeated time and again since Donald Trump began running for president in 2015. Anonymous stories with big claims, red flags that a normal journalist looking to be sure that they're not overlooking something obvious get blown past. And we saw it in the Russia case. We saw it in the Ukraine case. We saw it in the Russian bounties case. We're seeing it today play out this very day. With the Homeland Security whistleblower, now his story is going into reversal, the carefully scripted story that Democrats gave us just a few days ago. The practice of journalism is deeply flawed right now. People want to get it first and hope it's right instead of getting it first, but first being sure it's right. And it's damaging the ability of our profession to be neutral arbiters of the truth. We had a long history in journalism of doing that. In the last 5 to 10 years, we have eroded most of the public trust that we've enjoyed. Because we keep having these stories that are, you know, have a red flag. When I read that story, the first thing I said is, there's a red flag sitting here. The idea that his comments were the reason they canceled it when there was pouring rain in the Secret Service and a foreign country. My training after, you know, being on many presidential trips, of course the Secret Service canceled this because of security reasons. And we now know that's true. The Atlantic has backed off that story and said, well, it may be true they canceled it because of the rain, but we still think it's a good story. That's the problem with journalism, getting the facts that wrong and still thinking you did good journalism.
And that is what is so egregious. This is why, as I hear some of the self-proclaimed real reporters and serious journalists lecture me about President Trump, my response, John, is, hey, we have President Trump because of you, because you have been so willing in recent history to just flat out lie. I mean, it's not even a misinterpretation or an honest error. It's just pure unadulterated fiction.
Yeah, and you know, there was a moment in journalism after Donald Trump won where the journalism industry could have positioned itself, and I wished it had positioned itself, as hovering above the swamp. We're going to be arbiters. We've heard the American people in the 2016 election. They said drain the swamp. That's why they shocked the world and rejected Hillary Clinton and chose Donald Trump instead of taking the opportunity the American public gave us, which is fly above the swamp and tell us what's right and wrong and be neutral arbiters. That was an enormous opportunity we could have seized as journalists. And instead, most of my colleagues jumped into the swamp and have become part of it. And they see themselves, by their own admission, their own tweets, as part of the resistance to Donald Trump. That's never what the founding fathers of journalism intended. It's not what the founding fathers of America intended. And we need to unravel it, and we need to unravel it quickly.
Well, I think for folks who are looking for a place to find honest reporting that really is calling balls and strikes, justthenews.com is a great, great resource.
Thank you.
John Solomon invented this, put it together, but I see other bylines, John. I mean, you know, you got one or two other folks that are contributing, right?
We feel very lucky. Yeah, we've got a team of 12 reporters now. I feel very blessed to have that large staff already, doing great work. Christine Dolan, Daniel Payne, Carrie Sheffield, Nick Ballasy, Susan Katz Keating, just a few of the names that we have. We have a few more people joining in the next couple of weeks. Everybody dedicated to honest, neutral, factually accurate journalism and transparent journalism. And I think that's our key bond to our readers. Yeah. I'm not going to be arrogant enough as the New York Times to say, you have to trust me because I'm the New York Times. We say, don't trust us. Look at the Dig In tab and everything that we use to build the story, our documents, our memos, our video, our audio, our research links. We expose to the readers so they can go check the information themselves. We want them to trust but verify us, as Ronald Reagan might say. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that so many of our readers do that on a daily basis. It's been an amazing experience to just see our readership and their engagement, not just on our stories, but on the real facts that are underlying the stories. That's been great, and I feel like a very lucky man.
Well, you're a very talented man as well. Don't discount that by any stretch of the imagination. John, do you think, because you were behind the scenes for a long time. You were part of this whole, I don't know, a cabal has such a pejorative tone to it. But, yeah,
right.
You know, you were there with these folks. Was this always the way, but we as readers we didn't have the ability to get the information ourselves? Is that why it was allowed to flourish?
You know, I came into the profession at a time when journalism schools and the executive editors and editors of institutions preached that you didn't have an opinion the second you crossed the threshold of the newsroom. Mm-hmm. If you expressed any opinion in the newsroom, you were fired. If you made a mistake and expressed opinion in public or in your stories, you were disciplined or fired. And for the first 20 years of my career, a little bit more than that, that was the norm. And journalism, I think, still functioned well. We had important stories. You know, we couldn't have done the China fundraising scandal with the Clintons and the Democrats and Whitewater were not for good journalists who did important, courageous reporting back in those days. Somewhere around 2007, the advent of social media, I saw a change. At the moment I saw it, I was actually in the Washington Post newsroom as the chief investigative correspondent for, you know, one of the grand journalism institutions, the place where Woodward and Bernstein, you know, did their most famous work. And it was the day that the verdict came down for Scooter Libby, the chief of staff to Vice President Cheney, and he was found guilty. And I saw colleagues in my newsroom stand up and applaud the verdict. And I was floored, offended, because I've always viewed the newsroom as a place of sanctity where political expression didn't occur. And I walked right into the executive office and executive editor's office, complained. To his credit, he came out and scolded people for doing that. But I realized at that moment something had happened in the profession, that whatever opinions people had deep inside, someone popped the cork on that champagne battle, and a very bad form of vitriolic champagne came out. And it's only gotten worse since then. Twitter and Facebook have just empowered journalists to substitute opinion for fact, and we've just gotten worse and worse in the process.
Wow. Well, I appreciate your honesty. I do appreciate the transparency there. I am trying to figure out one of the stories you're running today about Kamala Harris talking about the Harris administration and and what role Joe Biden might actually play in that Harris administration. But
It really happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can see it on video. It's clearly a Freudian slip that may speak volumes. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to look into that. I see that as sort of an enterprise story, John. It could take a long time to do that. And my suggestion, maybe you want to expose all of this seamy stuff that has gone on. 2030, you know, for your next book, that's the time to do this.
That's good advice. I'll start keeping notes today.
All right. Hey, John, before you go, one more time, tell everybody where they can get a copy of Fallout, please.
Absolutely. Amazon.com's got a fresh supply. And then at the Just the News store, known as JTNShop.com, books are available there as well.
All right. Listen, it is always a pleasure and a privilege to have you here. And I hope we'll get the chance again real soon.
Absolutely, Jeff. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. That is John Solomon, JustTheNews.com. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.